Hey, it's been customary throughout the generations to use the days before Yom Kippur to help put us in the proper mindset, proper mood, to help us ready ourselves, prepare ourselves for Yom Kippur. In that vein, that's what today is about. Today is about a morning for yeshiva for us to hopefully hear some words of chizuk, of inspiration, of thought that will help prepare us for the great big day that's less than 60 hours away from now, Be'ezrat Hashem, about to come upon us. The topic for this morning's talk that I chose was Aseres Yimei Teshuva, who are we kidding? Not sure if it grabbed you, if you want to hear about it. I'd like to talk about the topic, actually. And I'd like to hopefully, with you, reflect on some hopefully very, very important concepts that we should keep in mind as we come close to Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Reish Gimel teaches the following: Af mi she'eino nizer mipas shel kusim aseres yimei teshuva tzorich lizoher. There's a halacha called Pas Yisrael. Pas Yisrael means that there's a preference. If you're eating you have choices of two breads. One is bread baked by a Jew, and one is bread baked by a non-Jew. It's ideal to have Jewish baked bread. That's halacha in general. Some people are makbid on Pas Yisrael all year long. Some people are very careful all year long only to have Pas Yisrael. But the Shulchan Aruch says, even if all year long, you don't mind having Thomas's English muffins, those are yummy. That's not Pas Yisrael. Or you like to have certain breads. I grew up in a town, Fairmont, New Jersey, delicious hot bagels. Oh, gewaldic hot bagels. Nothing against bagels in Eretz Yisrael. They're also very good hot bagels. Debatable, some say. Delicious hot bagels. It's not Pas Yisrael. So during Aseres Yimei Teshuva, we try to refrain, says Shulchan Aruch. We're careful not to have Pas Akum, non-Jewish, non-kosher bread. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We know this halacha. And every year as we review these halachos, we kind of wonder, what's going on over here? Who are we kidding? We go to the bagel store in Erev Yom Kippur, and we buy bagels for Matzah Yom Kippur to break our fast. And which bagels do we buy? The Pasakim bagels. We go to Hot Bagels. And buy those same bagels that we're not eating all week long. That's the reason we don't buy those bagels. I got to break my fast. And obviously you have to have bagels and cream cheese and lox and all the trimmings to break your fast. So where do you go? Hot Bagels. And get those Pasakim bagels. And as you do it, as you're paying only with cash in the bagel store, I mean only with cash, as you're paying with cash, you give them a $20 bill for the two dozen bagels, and you say, you're like, what am I doing? Who am I kidding? All week long, I'm very makbid, only Pas Yisrael. And now, the second Yom Kippur is over, I'm ready to go Pas Akum also. A little strange. But it's not limited, obviously, just to Pas to bread. We're all trying, I hope, to use these days to get ourselves ready and prepared and in line for Yom Kippur, for the big day, for the Yom HaGadol VaHanora. And we're trying to improve ourselves, and we're working on things, hopefully, and we're going to discuss some practical tips soon on what to be working on, what to be thinking about as we get to this amazing day. But we know that almost every single year in our lives, we had all these big plans, all these very big ambitions. We were going to accomplish this and accomplish that, and then maybe it's a week after Yom Kippur that it fades, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. Halavai lasts a month, but usually towards the end of the year, like, what was my Kabbalah last year? Did I really make a real Kabbalah myself? Did I take something upon myself? Is it lasting? And it doesn't oftentimes last, and we ask ourselves, who are we kidding? Why are we going through motions now? Aseres Yimei Teshuva, motion after motion, we're trying to think about ways to improve ourselves, if we know that the likelihood is it's not going to last. So that's what I want to discuss with you this morning. How do we address this issue, which hopefully should be bothering us? What am I doing this all for if at the end of the day it may not even last anyway? So I'd like to discuss with you in the time that we have this morning four approaches, four ideas, four perspectives to keep in mind that hopefully will help us understand and appreciate why what we're doing is so important. And why, even if there's a good chance, possibly, we may not be able to hold on to it for the rest of the year, possibly, it's still so valuable, so chashuv, so important. Number one. Number one. We look at the world and we only see things in the way that we can measure them. How much do I weigh? None of your business. How much do I weigh? Go on the scale, and the scale tells me I weigh exactly 100 and whatever pounds. Yeah, I'm still in the 100 whatever pounds. That's how much I weigh. That's how we measure things. How far is it from here to the Kotel? 2.5 kilometers around. That's how we measure by time, by space, by weight. We measure things in a very, very physical realm. That's all we know how to measure. Rabosai, there's something beyond the physical realm which makes a difference and impact in our lives. And even if sometimes we can't measure it, we should understand and know that the impact and the imprint is made regardless of whether we feel it or not. I'm going to share with you now a beautiful insight of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter wrote a sefer called Or Yisrael. It's right in front of me. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the father of the Muslim movement. And when it came time for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he was extremely powerful in his teachings. We'll come back to some other of them in Rosh Hashanah in a little bit. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has a letter over here. It's Mechtav Yud. He has letters, he wrote letters to different students of his, encouraging them to work on themselves, encouraging them to improve themselves. And he has the following thing. He says to a person, even though you may not understand or appreciate what you're accomplishing, he's talking about learning Musar. Sometimes we learn Musar, it's not affecting me. Nothing's penetrating into my soul. I don't feel different after learning the Silas Hasharim, so what was the point? Why am I doing this for? So Yisrael Salanter says, even though you may not recognize or appreciate what's happening to you, something is happening to you inside. And he proves it with the following chazal. I think I mentioned this chazal last year. Shana Bet, I asked Mechila if it's chazar, but it's a good chazar. Kedai chazar. There's a famous medrash brought down a ton of the Veil Yo about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, we know, was 40 years old before he began to learn. He knew nothing, didn't know Aleph Beis. And he went to start learning, says the medrash, and he comes to a rock, it says one day. And he looks at the rock and he notices that there's a hole that has penetrated the rock. And he turns to people with him and says, what's going on over here? How did this rock get a hole in it? How is it possible for something so hard, like a rock, to have a hole that penetrated through it? And the people that were with him said, Akiva, Akiva, you don't know the pasuk that says, Avanim shachaku mayim. The pasuk says that water penetrates a rock. And the Akiva says, Akal v'chomer, well, if the water, which is soft, can penetrate the rock, which is hard, so Torah, which is so strong and powerful and mighty, Kal v'chomer, it can penetrate my heart. Says the Medrash with these words. Miyad, immediately, Chazar l'talmuda. He went back to learn. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. The implication is that Akiva started to learn. And he said, what's it worth? I'm not getting anything out of this. It's a waste of my time. Why am I wasting my time doing this? I don't feel different. It's not changing me. Nothing's happening to my core. And then he looked at the water and noticed the following Kal v'chomer. Each drop of water, does it make a difference on the rock? Look at one drop. One drop make a difference? Well, it does. Do you see the difference? Can you appreciate the difference? Can you see it on the spot? No. But is it happening? 100%. Look at the rock. With time, and with consistency, and with persistence, and with being a nudnik like you're supposed to do when it comes to Avodas Hashem, the imprint is made on the rock. Miyad chaza l'talmudo. He went back to learn. He said, this is going to make a difference on me. It may take time. It may take effort. It may not be an instant gratification on the spot. I may not feel it, but you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to make a difference on me. We don't realize, Rabosai, what's going on. When we make a small step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these days, we think, yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, I'm going back after Yom Kippur. I'll be exactly the same. It's not true. Something is happening inside of you. You may not be able to put a finger on it. You may not be able to appreciate what's happening inside of you, but something real, real, which can't be measured with time and space and weight, but something real is happening to us during this special, auspicious time of Aseret Netshuva and Yom Kippur. I like to tell over the story. I have a Talmud from many years ago in Torah Shraga. And the entire year in yeshiva, he did not just nothing, he did worse than nothing. Most of the time he was involved in behavior that was less than desirable, to put it nicely, it's almost Yom Kippur. And he did almost nothing the entire year. And we have a minhag in yeshiva. The last night of yeshiva, we go up to the porch upstairs. We have a big kumzitz and a goodbye. Hopefully a pleasant opportunity for fellows to share their experiences of the year. I remember standing over there, and this boy, I won't say his name, don't worry, pulls me over to the side of the corner, the deep corner of the porch outside, and says, "Rebbe, I have to tell you something." I said, "What?" "I'll call him Yanko." It's not his name. I said, "What, Yanko?" He said, "I want to come back Shabbat." I said, "You want to what? You want to come back Shabbat?" I said, are you under the influence of some other substance? Like, it didn't make any sense. I didn't say this to him, but I thought to myself, you haven't done anything the entire year. In fact, you've done things that were pretty bad a good part of the year. What, are you kidding me? And he said, "I want to come back." I'm like, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah." So I spent that summer, a good part of it, trying to convince his father to let him come back, and he came back. And the rest, like I say, is history. He's married, Baruch Hashem now. He's a Ben Torah, a fine Ben Torah now. What happened? How did this happen? It wasn't the kumis on the last night. It wasn't just that one moment on the last night. It was something that took place inside of him all year long, which maybe he didn't realize. Maybe he didn't understand what's happening to him, but it happens to us. And therefore, the first answer to this question is, what are we doing? If we're going to revert back to it, the answer is we don't understand what's taking place inside of us. We have no full appreciation of the value of every single thing that we're doing now during these special days. That's number one. The second perspective that I want to give to answer this question is the following. Someone once came to the Chazon Ish, the great leader of the Chazon Ish, and asked him this question. What's the point? We're going to revert back after Yom Kippur to our regular ways. And said the Chazon Ish, his name was Avram Polak. He said the following thing. I'll read the language in Hebrew. He said, "V'chimilsa zutrasa hiliyos karov el Hashem b'meshech mispar shavuot," which means in English, is it a small thing to be close to Hashem for a couple of weeks, for a couple of days? Hayesh lecha chech matok mizeh. Is there anything sweeter than that? Is there anything sweeter than just being with Hashem and close to Hashem and having this opportunity of a lifetime that we have? Anything sweeter than that? There's nothing sweeter than just the opportunity of this closeness to Hashem that we have during these days of Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, during Yom Kippur. Let me try to explain this with two mashalim. One mashal my wife told me this morning on the way into yeshiva from Rav Pinkus, and the other one's an older mashal favorite of mine. Here's the first one. You may have noticed already around Yerushalayim, people are getting very into Dalet Aminim. We'll give a shout out to Rabbi Ifrah Shlita. Dalet Aminim becomes very big, whether the right time is before Yom Kippur or not. I don't want to discuss now right now. The Amech Kulam Tzadikim, everyone that's involved in the mitzvot is a good thing. I'm not getting into that right now at all. Imagine right next to Meir Sharm is a massive shuk. Shuk Dalet Aminim. And a lot of times people come, especially after Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, to come and find a good deal. Now the shuk is lit up. And the shuk has asrogim and lulavim and adasim and aravos. It also has pictures of gedolim and beautiful decorations all around. And a father is there walking with his son in the shuk dalamin, and they're walking holding hand in hand. And the father's getting very into the asrogim. He's bringing a magnifying glass, trying to figure out exactly, is that a dot? Is that a bump? Is that a hole? I don't know. And he needs both hands. And his little son, Yankala, drifts off. Because the asrogim don't mean too much to Yankala. Yankala cares about the lights. Yankala cares about the pictures, the decorations. So Yankala drifts off. And his father's deep, deep involved in his esrog. And Yankala is deep, deep mixing in the crowd. And the crowd is very, very thick. And a lot of people are in the crowd. And Yankala just finds this way away from his father. And after the father finishes looking at the esrog, he realizes, I have a hand that used to be occupied with another child. And Yankala is not next to me. And the father starts looking around the shuk. Where's my Yankala? Where's my Yankala? What's going to be? Yankala, Yankala. He's looking around. He's screaming, Yankala! Yankala, Yankala. What's going to be? Can't find his son. At these shuks, they have a little police headquarters, a little police table. He figures, you know what, I'll go to the police table. So he goes to the police table, and behind the table, he sees his little son, Yankala, who also was looking for his father. And he says, ah, Yankala. And the police says, please prove this is your son. He's like, prove that's my son? Yankala jumps off the over the table, runs into his father's hand, squeezes him so hard. And the police is like, okay, I trust you. It's probably your son. And the rest of the time when they're walking together, they're walking not just like hand in hand like they were before. The grip is so tight. Because the closest they feel now after they've been separated during that time and now they're reunited is such a deep closeness. Rabosai, that's the opportunity we have. Sometimes we've drifted over the course of this year. Everybody has drifted over the course of this year. And when we have the opportunity to reunite with our Father, with Avinu Shebashamayim, how precious is that opportunity? How sweet! How sweet is that hold, is that embrace, is that feeling of closeness that we feel at that time? That's my wife's mashal. I like that mashal. It's a beautiful mashal. I like to give this mashal. It's also an important mashal. Some people in this room are privileged to have children, Baruch Hashem. Children. They like to play around. And they're not always very, very careful where they play. Sometimes it's in the sand, sometimes it's in the mud. And after a long day, maybe in the summer when they're outside all day in the heat, so there's a mixture of like schwitz and sand and mud and water and you fill it in, whatever else is on their bodies. They come into the house after a long day. And they look disgusting. They look filthy. You wonder, like, were they in the garbage, rolling in the garbage the entire day? They come into the house and it's the mother or the father, whoever has the zechus. Has a zechus to take the child who's filthy dirty, put him in the bathtub, clean him with soap and shampoo, and all of a sudden they come out of the bathtub spanking clean, sparkling, beautiful! And they feel so good, and they feel so loved, and they feel so cherished. They were dirty, it's true they were dirty, they got dirty, they messed up, they went the wrong way. But now all of a sudden we're out of their back, and they're clean. And that feeling of cleanliness is an incredible feeling the child feels, Rabosai. We go to the mikveh, Erev Yom Kippur. You know what the mikveh is? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mikveh. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the Mishnah says. The Pasuk says. V'omer mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is cleaning us. We're dirty. Not dirty with like a little stain on our shirt. That's also true, probably. Not that kind of dirt. We have filth. Filth on our soul. We spent time over the course of this year getting dirty with different things. Maybe we didn't intend to it. Sometimes we did intend to do it. And we have an opportunity of a lifetime. You know what that is? Hashem says, come with me, my sweet little child. I'm going to clean you off. We're going to go in the mikvah. What an opportunity. What a zechus we have when Yom Kippur comes. And therefore, you know what? Even if we end up drifting afterwards, hopefully we won't. But just understanding that tremendous opportunity, that sweet opportunity we have is something so precious. I'm not going to read more than one Rambam. I have three of my Mamakomos. I don't have a lot of time left, but the Rambam writes so beautifully in Hilchos Tshuva when he describes the Baal Tshuva. He says, don't think that you're far away from Hashem. You should understand that yesterday maybe you were. Vayomu, Ahuv, today you're beloved. Nechmad, you're precious. Karov, you're close. You did. What you did mean? What do you did? You did. You did mean as a friend. There's an unbelievable closeness. The opportunity is an opportunity of a lifetime. It's true. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But right now, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we have the opportunity of a lifetime. Nothing sweeter than being in Hashem's embrace, than being holding Hashem's hand after we got lost. We're being cleansed by Hashem in His mikvah after we've drifted away from His path over the course of this year. That's number two. Number three. The question's wrong. Who are we kidding? The answer is nobody. You know why? The question was, it's not going to last. So what are we doing? Here's the answer. Let's make it last. It could last. Why can't it last? The camel. How can it last? Chavetz Chaim was approached once by the Panovich Rav. Panovich Rav was going to raise money in South Africa. Money that was needed to help support the Jews in pre-established Eretz Yisrael in Europe before the war. And he comes to the Chavetz Chaim and says, Chavetz Chaim, Gadol HaDor, I'm going to speak to the Jews in South Africa. I want you to please tell me, what should I tell them? What message should I give the Jews far away in South Africa in the name of the Chavetz Chaim? The great Gadol HaDor said to Chavetz Chaim, tell them in my name the following thing. Tshuva is easy. Tshuva is easy. What's tshuva? Charata, I feel bad about what I did. And a Kabbalah, and I take upon myself something in the future. The Yetzer Hara makes us think tshuva is impossible, said the Chavetz Chaim. But that's the Yetzer Hara. Tshuva is easy. Why? Because only these two things, charata, feeling bad, vidui charata, and kabbalah, and an acceptance upon yourself to the future. And I want to talk to you for a minute or two now about this idea of kabbalah. Yisrael Salant, I mentioned before, or Yisrael, he writes the following thing. The entire 30 days of Elul is to get us to Rosh Hashanah. And the entire Rosh Hashanah is to build us up to Yom Kippur. And the entire Yom Kippur is just to build up to what? To Ni'ilah. What's Ni'ilah? To make one Kabbalah, one small acceptance upon ourselves that will last us the entire year. Everything is a build-up. It's a build-up to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, to Ni'ilah, so we can all walk away with one sincere Kabbalah upon ourselves for the entire year. And if we take that Kabbalah upon ourselves, whatever that Kabbalah is, and we carry it into the year, then Yom Kippur doesn't end. It's not getting anybody. It's lasting with us for the entire year. What's a Kabbalah? What should I think about myself? What should I do? Give me an example. I'll give you an example. I don't want to shoot low. There's a big range of people in this room right now. It would be mochel me if the Kabbalahs I'm going to mention right now are beneath our dignity. But for some people, it might be wearing tzitzis every single day. Is it so hard to put the strings on in the morning? I'm not saying they have to be wool. Cotton. It's so hot? The winter is coming. It's not hot in the winter. Tzitzis. For some people, it's wearing tzitzis when I walk from the dorms to the basketball court. Because I wear them all the time anyway, but when I'm playing ball, I don't wear them. Okay, fine, don't wear them when you're playing ball. That's fine. Maybe you have food to rely upon. I've said that. You're walking into the court, you're walking back from the court. Maybe that's your Kabbalah, to wear tzitzis during that time. It's a small thing. It makes a big difference. I'll give you another example. And there's range. You'll see every Kabbalah has a range. Shomer Negiah. Shomer Negiah. I don't know. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that I know, that I have, that there's a prohibition to touch girls that's not your wife, or not your daughter, or your mother, or your grandmother. Rabbi, you're telling me to... Do you know who I am? Me? Shomer Negiah? Okay, fine. You know what I'll say? Each person on his level can find a Kabbalah that's appropriate for them in Shomer Negiah. Maybe it's for some people in this room that are very high madriga, maybe they have to worry about the question of cousins, which is not really a question. It's pretty clear. Or maybe ants, that's more of a question. Ants. Not the little creepy crawling things on the A-U-N-T's, ants. Aunts, if that makes it more easier for some of you. That's a question, more of a question, halacha. But for every person on Aram Adriga, that's a Kabbalah which is within reach. Within reach. I'm not saying that every person is on the same level of Kabbalah, but a Kabbalah is something which a person takes upon himself, which can last. And therefore Yom Kippur is not something which is only happening for one day, and we're kidding somebody. We're not kidding anybody. We want to take it with us. Yisrael Salanta told us, everything is just a build-up to come to that Kabbalah. So you know what you should be thinking about right now? What's my Kabbalah going to be? Maybe it's in our realm of speech. I'll get a range again. Some people use words in their vernacular, in their vocabulary that are undesirable, to put it nicely. Or maybe even profanity, Shem Yishmor. Maybe even words that belong nowhere, that don't exist. Do you know why the Ramban says that Hebrew is called Lashon HaKodesh? Because there's no curse words in the Hebrew language. That's why it's called Lashon HaKodesh. It's a holy language. You're in Israel. Unfortunately, the Israeli language has learned some not such Lashon HaKodesh from other parts of the world. You may have heard that in this country. Shem Yishmor. But the bottom line is, Rabosai, in the realm of speech, there's so many areas of Kabbalah we can make. And if I don't curse Baruch Hashem, I don't use foul language, but I could talk in a more refined way. There's certain borderline words that I could think of I say, maybe I shouldn't say. Certain comments that I make maybe should not be made. That's a third perspective. A Kabbalah, a real Kabbalah. And then, guess what? Everything we worked on isn't just here today and gone tomorrow, but it's going to last the entire year. The final perspective, then we'll just wrap up. The final thought I wanted to share with you, I think is so beautiful and so precious. The elder rabbis in this room will be able to appreciate this more. They're not elder, they're not old, but they're older than we are. And that's as follows. When I was dating my wife, so I was very, very conscientious of things that made her happy. I found out very quickly what she likes, what she dislikes. You want to know what she likes? I can tell you. She likes Tropicana oranges. This is going back a couple years ago. We don't have it in Israel. It's okay. We survive without it. So she liked. So you know what I did? I would bring on a date, after a few dates, a bottle of Tropicana oranges with me. Because I knew that it registered in my mind she liked that as a drink. She found out I like certain things. I have a sweet tongue a little bit. I have, unfortunately, a too soft spot for baked goods. So she would bake baked goods for me. And we'd go on dates, and she'd bring the baked goods. And she wouldn't only bake the baked goods, but she would patchkarai, which, if you know what that means, it means she would invest a lot of time, maybe like go to the store and buy a certain ingredient that only you'd have to put into this cake so it would taste extra special good. That's how it went when we were dating. Baruch Hashem, we got engaged. I'll fast forward very quickly because I don't have a lot of time left. Baruch Hashem, we're married for Blian Hara, many years. All year long, my wife still bakes once in a while. She doesn't patch her eye like she did when we were dating. She doesn't have time. She has two full-time jobs. She has children in the house, Baruch Hashem. She's busy up the gazoodles. She doesn't have time to make the cakes that she used to make when we were dating or even engaged. She doesn't have the time in her life. I still buy her juice. Again, I don't travel to America to buy her Tropicana. But I buy her orange juice, or I know that she likes something that I'll buy it here and there. I don't have time in my busy schedule to go drive an hour to pick up a certain chocolate bar that she might like. I still don't have time in my day to do it. Says Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch, listen so carefully, so beautifully. He says, but one time a year, we go the extra mile. What is that? Our anniversary. Maybe if she doesn't have the time to make those ingredients all year long, so she won't. But the anniversary comes, she'll find the time to do it. Why? Because she wants to express to me how precious the relationship is to her. And I may not have time all along to go buy flowers and drive an hour away. I'll buy flowers before Shabbos, but I'm not the special ones. But when the anniversary comes, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to go crazy. I'll do the best I can to show her this is so precious to me. The relationship is so valuable and so meaningful to me. How much I love being part of this relationship. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that is Yom Kippur. That is a service to Yeshuva. It's true. There's a good chance we're not going to be able to keep it up all year long. We may not be able to have so much time during the year for introspection. We may not be able to have so much time all year long to go all out, above and beyond for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what we do during these days, these last 55 hours until Yom Kippur comes, and then another 25 hours, and it's 80 hours now, the whole thing is over. The 10 days of Aseres Mitzvah are up. You know what we do now? We invest and we show Hashem, listen, Hashem, this relationship is valuable to me. This relationship is important to me. I love you. I wish I could do this all year long. I wish I could be so in tune to your needs. Kavyachol, I wish I could be so worried about my relationship with you all year long. I can't, Hashem. But now, Aseres Mitzvah, I'll do the best that I can to show you how much I appreciate and I value the relationship. That's a Ruchim's mashal for Aseres Mitzvah. Let's review, and then we'll just end with a blessing. What do we ask? We ask, what are we kidding? And we gave four perspectives, four answers. Number one, the first answer, we may not recognize it, but something is happening inside of us. Like that fellow on the back of the porch on the last night of Shana Av. The second perspective, the opportunity of a lifetime. Chazon Ish said, is there anything sweeter than being in Hashem's presence, so close to Hashem, for this amount of time? The mashal of the kid Yankala in the Shuk Dalet Minim, the mashal of the baby who got so dirty and filthy, but feels so cleansed. How precious that opportunity is. Number three, it doesn't have to end. A Kabbalah, we saw Salam to Torah, a Kabbalah is everything leads up to Yom Kippur, to Ne'ilas, to Kabbalah, make whatever it is, you fill in the blank. And if you don't know, ask your Rebbe. What Kabbalah should I make for this year? That Kabbalah helps us maintain the Yom Kippur all year long. And finally, Yerucham Levavitz taught us that we wish we can maintain it all year long. We wish we can have that same level of clarity and of conscientiousness all year long about the relationship with Hashem. But we can't. But at least this time, this precious time, we try our best to show Hashem this relationship that we have with you means a lot to me. It means a great deal to me. I suppose we have 55 hours left till Yom Kippur, and then we have the amazing Yom Kippur coming upon us. We should be zocher to use these hours that we have left wisely. We should realize how precious they are, how much we could accomplish in those hours. We should be zocher to come before Hashem and achieve true kapara on Yom Kippur. We should all be zocher to have a gemar chasimah tova.
Stairs.